And live from the Capitol Theater in Salt Lake City, this is the Morning Mix with a very special show today. Our musical guest is the entire Utah Symphony, who is at Capitol Theater this morning in Salt Lake City rehearsing for their debut of the 2017 festival in Deer Valley tomorrow night, beginning of the 14th season in Deer Valley. Joining me for this very special Morning Mix, Christy Dillaway and Jude Robinson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Also joining us is Renee Huang, Director of Communications for Utah Symphony and Utah Opera. Good morning, Renee, and thanks for inviting us here.
Good morning, guys. Welcome.
It's a beautiful day, and this 14th season, this is just extraordinary.
Yeah, we're going into the 14th season of the Deer Valley Music Festival, kicking off tomorrow evening and running for 6 weeks.
Wow.
We've got quite a schedule for today's program. First, we'll be speaking with operatic soloist Lisa Vroman. Our other guests throughout the show will be conductor Jerry Steichen, president and CEO of Utah Symphony Paul Meacham, and the symphony's vice president of artistic planning Toby Tolikin. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll run through the weekend events as we always do.
And we're going to be broadcasting music throughout the show. The Utah Symphony will be playing Saturday night for their special Red, White, and Blue celebration. Also, we will play a song later in the program from Lisa Vroman, Think of Me, in her role as Christine in Phantom of the Opera.
You're listening to the Morning Mix's special Utah Symphony Show, live at Capitol Theater. We're going to take a break for underwriters, and when we return, we'll speak with Lisa Vroman, who will be performing with the Utah Symphony tomorrow night at the Deer Valley Music Festival.
Support of KPCW comes from Zions Bank Concierge-Style Executive Banking Services. Zions Bank. We haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. More information available online at zionsbank.com.
Saturday, July 1st, celebrate America the Beautiful with the Utah Symphony and Broadway star Lisa Vroman at the opening concert of the Deer Valley Music Festival in Park City. Enjoy patriotic favorites like Battle Hymn of the Republic, Armed Forces Salute, Yankee Doodle, and Broadway favorites. Patriotic celebration with Lisa Vroman July 1st at the Deer Valley Snow Park Outdoor Amphitheater. For all Utah Symphony summer shows, visit deervalleymusicfestival.org. The Utah Symphony Utah Opera is a nonprofit organization and a sponsor of KPCW.
Tell us more about the... questions.
Yeah. We're back at the Capitol Theater with the Morning Mix live broadcast. We're joined by Renee Huang. Renee, tell us a little bit about the whole season that's coming up at the Deer Valley Music Festival.
So we've got a really exciting season in store. We have, as always, lots of stuff going on for families of all ages. So we have the patriotic celebration this weekend, but we also have a couple unusual things going on this season, including the Harry Potter concert, which we actually debuted down here in Abravanel Hall this past winter. And it was a sold-out show. We had three shows, packed the house. And so we're actually doing the full-length feature film on the Hill with the orchestra playing the soundtrack. So that's something that people shouldn't miss. We have, you guys all know Hamilton, right? So we have,
of course,
the Tony Award-winning singer of that, Leslie Odom Jr., coming to the Hill. And we have classical favorites like Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, and we have a Gershwin's performance as well. So we've got lots of things for people.
Aiming for all ages and all abilities as far as symphony audience members.
Exactly. And actually, so we have a fun social media contest that we are launching. It's called the DVMF Adventure. We've actually done it the past couple of years, but we've tweaked it this year. So every weekend you have a chance to win a pair of tickets in partnership with Deer Valley Resorts. Jude is waving at me. She won last year.
Yes.
Isn't it fun? So it sends you on like a virtual scavenger hunt around Park City doing the quintessential things that make Park City so fun. So this year we are doing, it's like a 36-hour contest. Every Wednesday evening we launch clues. You can go on Instagram and Instagram your entries, in essence.
And the photos.
And then you hashtag DVMF Adventure. So go check our Instagram page at Utah Symphony if you want to find out more about that.
And it's great just to see Park City and to be involved with the community in this way. It's a really collaborative experience and a lot of fun.
Well, our first guest this morning is the very versatile vocalist Lisa Vroman. She's performed on Broadway and in Carnegie Hall, and she's a frequent guest soloist with theater and opera companies and orchestras, both nationally and internationally. She's well known for her award-winning performance as Christine in Phantom of the Opera, and tomorrow night she'll be appearing at the Deer Valley Music Festival. Welcome, Lisa Vroman.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good morning. You know, it's not our favorite time for singers to in the morning.
We won't make you sing on the microphone just yet. So I've personally only been to a few operas, but I've been to lots of Broadway shows and big musicals like the ones that you've had leading roles in, such as Phantom of the Opera and The Music Man, My Fair Lady, and West Side Story. Everywhere I read about your musical career mentions that you move between the worlds of opera and Broadway with unnerving ease.
Unnerving.
That was that. A quote.
That's a good word.
That's a great word.
And I wonder, are
a little early for that word.
Yeah, it's a little early for unnerving.
You can do it. I wonder, do you have very distinct styles of singing opera versus the musicals, or does your personal style supersede those genres?
You know, we grow up, we're given a certain set of attributes and ears and musical taste, and how you develop those tastes. It's all from influence early on. My mother was a music teacher. Started off with choral music, instrumentalist, and I always loved singing in English and singing different styles. My father was a huge Ella Fitzgerald fan, so even though my voice didn't kind of go in that path, my influence was her, the way she was singing, her treatment of words and how she connected to them as a singer. I've always been a good stylist. I guess I'm called a crossover singer, and that kind of develops you on the way. I went to graduate school for voice performance, for basically classical career, but my teacher knew that I was probably going to be wavering my path to the left and the right all the time. She was an opera singer at City Center in New York early on, and then she was also the first Mother Abbess for Richard Rodgers in the Sound of Music first tour, so she went from opera to theater. She knew who I was, so it was a great guide.
That's excellent. And the questions, and you had an opportunity to preview some of the questions. The wonderful, talented Olivia Netland helped me prepare.
Hello,
the
Olivia.
Questions. She'll love that. So her questions, and you were so kind to sign this. She wanted to know how many auditions you had to go through. When you said that your mother was a voice teacher,
she was a choral music educator and public school.
You were raised singing. You knew you had the gift.
Well, not really. You know, you're forced to go to choir if your mother's the teacher. You know, she was at church choir. We had to go, kicking and screaming sometimes. But you don't know it, but you're developing those skills in that language. And it was a small town in upstate New York. We, in the winter, so we were athletic at the same time. We did everything. We ran track. We, you know, played softball. We
busy.
And then we did all the music. We played in the band. We did the choir. Now kids, I think The effort is to be compartmentalized so early in their lives instead of doing everything. So
it's excellent advice to just try a few different things.
Well, we're singers, we're athletes. You must develop that in yourself, your aerobic
presence.
And well, I'm singing
stamina
at altitude tonight and tomorrow. It's no joke. It's 6 and 7.
You're basically bionic.
But you know, you never stop studying. You study voice depending on where your maturity is at the time in college and then after, and then you have to check in, you have to keep it trained. Mm-hmm. You know, like a good tennis player, they don't really stop
and
conditioning or training.
Maybe becomes more and more curious and you keep
you evolve and your voice matures as it ages, so that allows that to happen.
So you've had some of the best leading roles in all the repertoire of
my bucket
choices,
list.
Right? You're right. So I was going to ask, do you have things on your list that, and how does one get those? Like, is there a call out and you go, oh, I've always wanted that? Or do people come to you?
A lot of it's lucky also. I mean, I spent so much time, 10 years in Phantom. And during that time, there were things that I said, I haven't gotten to yet. I want to.
You said those out loud to people? Or
that's always in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. And the opportunities just presented themselves. And then there's some that you don't think are going to be the role of a lifetime, but they turn out to be that. I sung with the symphony here many, many times. We did Gilbert and Sullivan, you know, 5 seasons in a row. The opera company, Christopher and Macbeth, had me come to do the opera Regina by Mark Blitzstein. Not a lot of people know it, but the character of Aunt Birdie, which is it's a Lillian Hellman play based on the Little Foxes. It was the role of my lifetime at that time, and I will never forget it. And I'm now at the Capitol Theater rehearsing this morning in the same place where we performed that. So it's a that was a great memory for me. But so those things happen to you and they're just at the right time. But I did The King and I after Phantom was finished. That was a real bucket list. And the big one was kind of finally doing Marion the Librarian in The Music Man. And playing my mother was Shirley Jones. So she was the one that we watched growing up, and there she was playing my mom. That was pretty much a thrill. And her son, Patrick Cassidy, played Harold Hill. So that was a wonderful time.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us this morning, Lisa, as our special guest on this remote broadcast live from Capitol Theater with the Utah Symphony. I'll mention that Lisa Roman is also performing with the Utah Symphony tonight up at Snow Basin Resort if you can't make it to the Deer Valley Music Festival tomorrow night for the patriotic Red, White, and Blue celebration.
All right.
All right.
We're going back to the studio for some underwriters.
Park City is the most interesting town in the world. Our water flows uphill. We pay millions of dollars to save open space, but won't go out to dinner without a 2-for-1 coupon. Our moose shop on Main Street. We don't always listen to radio, but when we do, we prefer KPCW. Stay tuned, my friend. Like KPCW, the Summit Land Conservancy is a Park City-based nonprofit organization. WeSaveLand.org.
I'm Beth Lohman from Park City Mountain and KPCW's sponsor. Epic Promise grants focus on youth programs and environmental initiatives that impact our community. Grants fund programs that help kids achieve great things in the classroom and develop a passion for the outdoors by engaging guests, our local community, and employees to create a more promising future. More information at epicpromise.com.
I can do some of this.
And welcome back to the Morning Mix's special symphony show live at the Capitol Theater. Our next guest is Jerry Steichen, who's a conductor, and I'm really looking forward to that conversation. But we're going to sit down with it's Christy and myself and also Renee. We're going to talk a little bit more about this upcoming schedule. And it's been a while since the Beach Boys have been to Park City.
It's been a while, and you know, the concert's actually sold out, so I tried to avoid mentioning it, but it's going to be 5,000 people on the hill, and it's going to be a rockin' party.
Well, I still want to talk about the Beach Boys. And Jerry, why don't you come over here? I'm sorry, go ahead, Renee.
Oh, yeah, so it's going to be a rockin' party on the hill. We have a special guest who's going to be there. It's the governor. Governor Herbert's going to come because the Beach Boys are actually a huge favorite of his. So he was integral in suggesting that we bring them back. So he's going to come and say a little hi to everyone on the hill as well.
Well, we look forward to that. Our next guest, Jerry Steichen, he is a conductor who for many years was a principal pops conductor.
The conductor.
He is what the conductor. Conductor extraordinaire. He is so well known to Deer Valley festival goers.
We were supposed to stand up and clap when he arrived.
Oh, no, I know it. I know it.
Please, remain in your seats, please.
And it is currently 19 minutes past the hour 9. At 9:26, or maybe a touch earlier, he's going to walk into the main hall at Capitol Theater, about 100 feet from here where we are in the lobby, and he's going to rehearse 85 musicians and Lisa Roman for tomorrow night's opening of the 2017 Deer Valley Festival. Jerry Steichen, welcome to the Morning Mix.
It is such a pleasure to be here and look at beautiful downtown Salt Lake.
It is.
It's one of my favorite places in the world. And I actually helped found the Deer Valley Music Festival, so it's such a thrill to be returning to this incredible venue and to this great place.
Well, a lot of people are going to light up when they see you because
It's so much fun. It feels like family. Do you know? In fact, we had a concert on Tuesday night down at Thanksgiving Point, and you walk on stage with this group of musicians with whom I have this wonderful working relationship and this great organization in this beautiful city that you just go, life is not so bad.
Okay, Jerry, my first question is,
yes, sir.
Can you describe nuclear fission at the subatomic level?
No.
Okay,
not
good.
At all.
My next question is, and I'm really curious
about
this.
I like easy questions. Renee, thanks.
This is great.
So how do you structure a rehearsal plan with 85 musicians and a vocalist who you may have never met before or worked with before? They arrive at the airport. They come into your rehearsal hall. You got a couple of hours. How does all that happen?
It's actually kind of magical that musicians all work on their single line of the score. They know their part. They know their instrument. And then suddenly you put these 85 musicians together, and nuclear fission does happen.
Oh, he does know the answer to that.
He does.
Because it's really magical how an ensemble plays together. All they see is their little line of the music, and they have no idea what everybody else is doing. And it is like fission because all these parts come together and magic happens. In fact, Herbert von Karajan, one of the world's great conductors back in the 50s and 60s, was asked, what is conducting? And he said, when a flock of birds takes off and they're all going different directions, the unseen force that gets everyone going the same direction.
Synchronicity.
That is conducting, which is exactly what I get to be a part of.
So you're the head bird?
I guess so. Am I the point person, or am I the person in the back? Or actually,
you're the flapper.
I think I'm the wind. I know, right? I think I'm the
maybe
wind.
Maybe we'll go with you're the wind.
Sees.
The wind beneath my wings.
And the joy of right. Oh, I love that song.
Oh, you're gonna make us cry, Renee.
I know. And the joy of working with Lisa Vroman. We actually met each other in 1991 doing The Phantom of the Opera and toured together for 2.5 years, and we've been performing together ever since. In fact, the first 5 seasons of the Deer Valley Music Festival, we did fully staged, choreographed, blocked performances of Gilbert and Sullivan operettas, and Lisa Vroman always played the lead in those.
I was there.
So we have been coming to Salt Lake for a long time.
Well, such so tomorrow joy. Night, well, actually, I want to explain why we're at Capitol Theater, because you guys are rehearsing here today, and tonight you open up at Snow Basin, and then coming mm-hmm. tomorrow to Deer Valley, but usually a Bravenel Hall is the home of the Utah Symphony.
I know, why did we get kicked out?
Well, it was built as a beautiful concert hall with amazing acoustics.
Exactly.
And now you take a symphony outdoors on the side of a ski slope. Do you have to adjust in some way for the space?
The joy
the lack of, space?
The lack of, or the abundance of space. It's like move from a Bravenel Hall to The Sound of Music, The Hills Are Alive. Although I always laugh at Deer Valley because everyone else is looking at a tent with the Utah Symphony and the back of the Deer Valley Lodge. And
you have the best stage.
We always, in fact, I usually make a point of telling people to turn around. In fact, there was one year, well, I don't remember whether you were here yet or not, Renee, that I said, oh my gosh, it's such a beautiful night. It was pouring on the audience. But up in the mountains, it was perfectly clear. And I was like, it's so beautiful. And everyone was like, Jerry, it's raining on us, which I couldn't tell. It was pretty in the mountains.
If you're just joining us in the Morning Mix, we're having a conversation with the one and the only, this guy, Jerry Steichen, conductor, Pops conductor for many years. Everybody in Deer Valley knows him. Great guy. Hey, got a question for you. Mm. I've always wondered about this. You have a score. You have a vision for the score.
Mm-hmm.
Does the performance of the piece, does it manifest itself from the score or the vision?
Do you know, I think it's a combination. And the piece that you're leaving out is actually the skill of the musicians.
Okay.
Because what lifts the score is not just my vision of the score, but also what every musician on stage brings to it. So every person, as I was saying, knows their part and plays their instrument, you know, much better than I ever would. And then you put all those pieces together, and what raises the score off the page and makes it magical is the skill of the musician.
And you may have a vision for the interpretation of the score, but your exactly. musicians, and you got 85 of them, mm-hmm. and you got a vocalist out front, the musicians, can they have their own interpretation, or they need to follow your instructions?
No, absolutely.
Perfectly?
In fact, I think I'm this huge safety net that asks people to play their best and invites them to play their best. So I'm actually on tour right now with the Broadway National Tour of The King and I.
Okay.
We get a different orchestra in every city. And it's The King and I, like, shall we dance? Bum, bum, bum. Exactly. You would think yeah. that's going to sound exactly the same in every city. It sounds completely different in every city because every musician brings different energy, different skills, different sound, different approach to it. So every time you do a piece, it sounds completely different, even if it's Shall We Dance or Aaron Copland.
Well, that segues perfectly to my next question, which you're currently the music director of the Macon Symphony Orchestra in
Macon,
Georgia.
I
spent 9 years as music director of the Richfield Orchestra Symphony mm-hmm. Orchestra in Connecticut, right next to my hometown, Wilton, Connecticut.
Oh, I didn't know you were from Wilton.
Yeah.
Oh, great
town. You spent 12
There's
seasons.
There's that ice cream place.
It's been a while since I've been there.
Oh, okay.
You spent 12 seasons as the principal pops conductor of the Utah Symphony and 15 seasons as principal pops conductor of the New Haven Symphony Orchestra. So you've covered north, south, east, and west. Do you see difference in the audiences, in attitudes, understanding, appreciation?
That's a great question. Good music is good music, and people come and enjoy good music everywhere. Utah audiences are spectacular because they love the Utah Symphony so much. And summer audiences come out and just want to have a good time. So coming to the Deer Valley Music Festival, there are 5,000 people who come out and are like, woohoo, we're going to listen to music on a mountain. So are there differences in attitudes? No, the New Haven Symphony audiences and the Macon Symphonies also come because they love music. So that's the joy of what I get to do is sharing it with them.
Jerry, we want to thank you for joining us this morning. Jerry Steichen,
it's a pleasure
conductor.
Being here.
We're abbreviating our conversation because we want to give you the
Jerry's
opportunity.
Because Jerry's got to go to work.
You
got to
go to work. Baton.
You got 85 musicians. You've got a Broadway
sitting there hungry,
vocalist.
Waiting.
Man, it's time to
all
go,
right.
Man.
Everybody come and enjoy the concert tomorrow night.
Thank you so much for joining us.
We will. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, if you want to know what else is going on in town in Park City for the weekend, these are the weekend events. Tonight is Gallery Stroll on Park City's historic Main Street. This event happens the last Friday of every month, and it's free, and it's an event for all ages.
The 82nd Annual Oakley Rodeo opens tonight and continues through July 4th. Yeah, with events every night except Sunday. It's a big one on the rodeo circuit, sanctioned by the Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association. Unfortunately, if you don't have tickets yet, it's already sold out. So maybe mark your calendars for next year, maybe, or try to scalp.
Or yeah. Facebook, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tonight's the opening night for the sultry hit musical Cabaret, being performed at Egyptian Theater. It's running Thursdays through Sundays from now until July 3rd. 23rd, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Sister will be playing in Peoa tonight at the Wooden Shoe Park. Sounds like Teen Spirit is at the Spur. Cody Robinson is at Cognition Winery. Joy and Eric are at the Boneyard. And Telluride Meltdown are at the Cabin.
Tomorrow, the Flying Ace All-Star Aerial Show takes place tomorrow and every Saturday and Sunday throughout the summer at the Utah Olympic Park. It starts at 1 p.m. and it is free.
And Park City's
Canucks
can celebrate Canada's 150th anniversary on Canada Day with a potluck party gathering in City Park from 4:30 to 7:30.
Tony Holiday and the Velvetones will be playing at Canyons at 6 p.m., opening for the contemporary soul and blues artist John Nemeth and headliner New Orleans Suspects.
Jellybread will be playing live at O.P. Rockwell at 9 p.m. Triggers and Slips are at Silver Star Cafe. Los Helaminos are at the Spur, Utah Symphony at Deer Valley, and the Backyard Revival is at the Boneyard.
And Sunday, well, this is a big holiday weekend, so most event organizers looks like they held off on an extra event on Sunday, so we just have the regulars like Park City Sunday Market and that Flying Ace All-Star Show. And a reminder that Tuesday is the 4th of July and the parade starts from the top of Main Street at 11 a.m. Ride the bus and be prepared for large crowds. Fat Paw, one of my favorites, will be playing at City Park at 1:45 p.m. along with a full schedule of kids' activities, traditional 4th of July rugby game, volleyball tournament, food and drinks for sale. Fireworks are at dusk at the Park City Mountain Resort base area, setting off sometime around 9:30. Seems like you always kind of wait for that. Like, when is dusk?
And you need to put your sunblock on. Don't forget. Wide-brimmed hats and sunblock.
Okay. You are listening to the Morning Mix Symphony Show live at the Capitol Theater. We're going to take a little break for our underwriters. And when we return, we're going to speak with Ms. Renee Huang. We're going to be talking about some additional things about the symphony schedule and about the significance of our little gathering here this morning. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
G'day, it's Ian from Campos Coffee. Us Aussies really love a summer as much as we love supporting KPCW. We've got Nitro Cold Brew on tap, Affogato's made with Wasatch Creamery Ice Cream, and Mamachari Kombucha made with our Cascara Coffee Cherry. Located above the ice rink at Park City Mountain Resort next to the Adirondack Chairs. CamposCoffee.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Schneider of Schneider Autocarrossery Body and Paint. Delighted to support KPCW. Located just down the canyon in Salt Lake, we've been repairing damaged cars and getting people back on the road since 1984. We work with all insurance companies. We're open Monday through Friday in Salt Lake. Details, services, and more info at schneiderauto.net.
Oh, boy, you know, that's some military marching music, which will be played at the Red, White, and Blue Celebration on Saturday night as Deer Valley kicks off their 14th season with the Utah Symphony. I'm here with Christy Dillaway and also Renee Huang. Welcome back.
Hi, are you having fun yet?
I'm having a blast.
This was one of JW's big dreams, so thank you, Renee, for making it possible.
No, I'm so excited to see you down here in my turf.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you know, we have live local music on every program of the Morning Mix, and to have the Utah Symphony has been a dream of mine, the entire symphony, 85 pieces. And we need to talk about Jerry, talk to him about his energy level. We need to get him out of his shell. He's very quiet.
He is very quiet. Last year he gave away a car by accident on the plaza. He was referencing one of our sponsors, BMW, and he said something about, oh, and you can win the car, and the crowd went crazy. So he's he has his moments.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we are certainly back. This is the Morning Mix Symphony Show live at the Capitol Theater. I'm JW here with Christy Dillaway and here with Renee Huang. Our next guest, Paul Meacham, Utah Symphony and Utah Opera President and CEO. Welcome to the Morning Mix, and thank you for this very special access to your rehearsal.
Well, good morning, and thrilled to be on the show live, and very happy to give you access to the rehearsal.
Yeah. Park City and Summit County are delighted to be the summer home of the Utah Symphony, and tomorrow begins your 14th season of the Deer Valley Festival. Can you talk about the economic impact of the festival on Summit County?
Well, it's, you know, as you say, it's the 14th year in which we've been doing the festival, and it has grown exponentially. So we're now generating, in ticket sales alone, over $1.6 million. The first year, I think, was $200,000 or $300,000. So you can get a sense of just how much through the ticket office, how much the festival has grown. But I think what is also clear from surveys we do is just how many of the visitors are either staying overnight and certainly generating additional income for Park City and Summit County through restaurants, shopping in Park City, and so on and so forth. So, you know, it without a doubt, it's definitely having a significant economic impact.
Can you share with us what the breakdown would be between, say, the Park City community, the Summit County community, and outside of the Summit County community as far as participation at the festival?
Sure. So we don't have a breakdown between Park City and Summit County. It's all one number. But about a quarter, 25% of all our visitors to the festival reside in Summit County. 19% or so come from out of state. So they're visitors, you know, for a weekend or a longer vacation. And then you've got the rest, which is about 55, something like that, percent coming from the rest of Utah. A lot of them, obviously, from the Wasatch Front. So you may say, well, 25%, that doesn't seem that much. But remember that the venue seats 5,000 people. So even 25% of 5,000 is a significant number. And don't ask me to do the math this early in the morning.
It is awfully early for math.
Well, I'm wondering, performing outside at ski resorts and in national parks, is that just a unique aspect of the Utah Symphony based on our state's amazing geographic offerings, or do other symphonies also seek out summer performance venues that are equally cool?
Well,
are we the coolest?
I think we are the coolest. All right. I mean, I've worked on the West Coast and the East Coast, and I've never known anything like this. I mean, I've just been here just a year now. In fact, today is my anniversary. So
happy anniversary.
Thank you. And I am blown away just by the, well, firstly by the, you know, incredible beauty of the outdoors here in Utah, but also the combination of music and the landscape. And yeah, I mean, to be fair to say, it's the arts and the landscape. I mean, you've got the Shakespeare Festival in Cedar City. You've got, there's many, Tour Con. I mean, there's many venues and many activities that are going on that take advantage of this beautiful landscape.
If you're just joining us on the Morning Mix, we're having a conversation with Paul Meacham, who is the CEO and president of Utah Symphony and Utah Opera. We're going to pause just momentarily, and we're going to go to the symphony that is rehearsing with guest conductor Jerry Steichen. We're going to just listen in for about a minute. So let's see what we hear. Here we go. Thank you. And folks, that was Copland's Outdoor Overture that we're listening in. And God, it sounded so good, didn't it, Paul?
Pretty good for a first rehearsal, absolutely.
Boy, it certainly does. You know, Deer Valley Music Festival, the 14th, begins tomorrow, July 1st, which is on your one-year anniversary of moving to us from the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, the BSO. Tell us how your year has been.
Well, it's certainly gone fast, that's for sure. And I think what's amazing is just the variety of what the Symphony and the Opera is doing. I mean, just this last year, the Symphony is, you know, in addition to its regular masterworks and entertainment concerts, it's been doing films in concert. Just last week, we performed La La Land, the soundtrack, live to the big movie on screen at Usana Amphitheater. The opera, in addition to his regular operas, did an amazing chamber opera based around a book by a returning Iraqi war veteran. Our education programs are incredibly extensive statewide. We also do work with Alzheimer's patients, the visually impaired. I think what's impressed me the most is just the diversity and the diversity of offerings and just the diversity of the community that we're trying to reach. And of course, you know, then there's geographically the Summit County, and towards the end of the summer, we're doing our Great American Road Trip to Southern Utah, and we're going to perform as we did 3 years ago. I don't know if you heard about the Mighty Five tour, but we're going to do something similar to that again, performing in outside Zion National Park, and then down to Bluff, and then to Vernal around Labor Day. So really a close marriage between music and the landscape, and these are free outdoor concerts. So I think there's, to answer the earlier question, I think it is a unique state, and what we do is unique in terms of the combination of the what the state has to offer and music.
When you're planning a season and you have such diversity of offerings, is there, I kind of want to envision this boardroom where everyone's sitting around the table and there's a big whiteboard and you're coming off the wall, like, how about if we do Prince? How about if we do Harry Potter? Like, paint the picture maybe of how some of that comes together. Are there goals in mind and we got to fit one in each slot, or go wild? Throw something right out.
Well, there's an orchestra that I shan't mention that's on the East Coast that used to call that room the War Room, which I always thought was, you know, that sounds like
it doesn't sound like as much fun.
No,
as what
it
I
isn't. It's a lot more fun what we do. It happens. It's organic. It happens over time. Partly it's, you know, what is available. If it's something that's touring that we want to partner with, but we do have overall goals. I mean, certainly for the festival, we want to really have a pretty diverse range of things that we offer. So we'll have some classical, we have a Tchaikovsky night, we have a Gershwin night, but then we'll have a movie. We got the Harry Potter movie. Then we'll have, you know, a beautiful Broadway singer from Hamilton, Leslie Odom Jr. And of course we got the Beach Boys, if you want the oldies, and the recreation of the classical mystery tours, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, recreation of that amazing Beatles album 50 years ago. So I would say that over, you know, the 30,000 foot goal is to have great diversity of offerings musically, but always with this orchestra at the center of it. I mean, we are an orchestra festival, and so it's important whatever we do, and the audiences see the orchestra in as a central feature of that.
With everything that you do, of course, the performances, but everything else that you do behind the scenes with helping kids to understand how to play their instruments better, and the instruction that you do, and going to the southern part of the state, all those little pieces that come together, it makes it feel like it's our symphony. It's not your symphony. It's a nugget that is so special. I mean, there are probably 40 or 50 cities in the United States of the size of Salt Lake City, yet there's only 15 symphonies, so that makes it special.
Right. 15 full-time symphonies, that's
and
right.
And then to have the summer home being in Deer Valley, I mean, it feels like our symphony.
Well, I mean, there's two things I would say to that. I completely agree. Firstly, we're called the Utah Symphony. We're not the Salt Lake Symphony. And that was, we were the Utah Symphony from 1940 when we were founded. So it is a state orchestra. And secondly, only 30% of our income comes from ticket sales. So 70% comes from different sources of what we call contributed revenue. Some of it is public support, and the ZAP tax in Salt Lake County is a very important part of our overall income, and that is a tax voted on by the people, by citizens. And then there's individual support and institutional support from corporations and foundations. So, when you've got that degree of investment from individuals and institutions in the state, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's fair to say that it is the people's orchestra.
Oh, boy. Christy, any other thoughts?
So many thoughts.
Yeah.
So little time.
Yeah, exactly. For our listeners, what can we do to help you?
Well, that's a lovely sequitur to the previous comment about contributed revenue. But seriously, I think, advocacy is important. I mean, I think what we do matters only to the extent that people say you are important, whether it's helping kids in schools or the disadvantaged or producing great art. And so we like to hear from people. We like feedback. We like engagement. So engage, I think, is what I would say to people. Engage with us.
Well, and I think it would be bring your kids to the symphony. Deer Valley
Absolutely.
Music Festival is such a great segue into introducing a love of live orchestral music
right.
to kids. My kids started going when they were like 3 and 5, and sometimes we would only stay for half an hour because that's just what it was. But, they were outside, they were enjoying it, they were playing with their friends.
I took my son when he was 4, I think it was, when Pirates of Penzance was mm-hmm. up there, and there was a rehearsal night was free. You could come. And I thought, he might stick through part of the beginning. He didn't have that long of an attention span. And it's in real time, so they took a real break to time it out, and he was like, no, we can't leave. And that song, I Am a Major General, we had to look up the words because we were singing it over and over and over and over again. So
cool.
It is a great intro. I appreciate those.
Well, I have two kids, 14 and 12 now, and they'll be at every concert this summer. They just love it.
And for those folks that may think that opera is not their cup of tea, boy, it couldn't be further from the truth. You have got to experience it. And
next year is the Utah Opera's 40th anniversary, and we're beginning the season with La Boheme by Puccini, one of the all-time great operas, which was actually the very first opera that started the company 40 years ago. Absolutely, if you've never tried opera, that's a perfect opera to try because it's a great introduction to opera. It's dramatic. It's passionate. The music is just drop-dead gorgeous. So.
Paul Meacham, CEO and President of the Utah Symphony and the Utah Opera, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for inviting us.
Okay. You're listening to the Morning Mix Symphony Show live at the Capitol Theater. We're going to take a little break for our underwriters, and when we return, Toby Tolikin, VP of Artistic Planning. Don't touch that dial. Stay with us.
This is Allison Kulo with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Did you know that by shopping locally, you strengthen the local economy and support our local infrastructure, trails, parks, and transit system? When you shop or dine in Summit County, those dollars stay in Summit County. The Park City Chamber Bureau is pleased to support KPCW's locally grown radio show, Mountain Money. Remember, keep it local, keep it PC. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit organization and a proud supporter of KPCW.
Support for KPCW comes from Crandall Capital and New Park Town Center. With new retail spaces and a year-round community development. Information about New Park Town Center is available at 801-303-5440.
Welcome back to the Morning Mix. We are joined this morning live at the Utah Symphony, Utah Opera, with Mr. Toby Tolikin himself. Toby is he comes our way through Connecticut. Oh, and he's been with the Utah Symphony for 10 years?
Since 2010, summer. Seven.
That's longer than 10 years.
Is it?
A bit. Or it's shorter, seven years.
That's new math,
depends
Toby.
On if you're doing
we
that.
We still can't do math.
Well, yeah. Because we never take vacation, it's about 10 years. You're
that's right.
Right. So you grew up in the East Coast. You yes. went to school. You studied violin, orchestra, and I was interested. The reason I'm bringing this up. How did you get into the music industry? Was it your desire as a kid, or was it something that you?
I was very lucky to have a father who was an amateur violinist and an uncle who both took me to concerts at the University of Connecticut. By the way, I give them a plug, the great basketball, mm-hmm. women's basketball team, currently, as you know, is from that university. But in the good old days, they used to have 6 to 8 major orchestras every year. Sadly, now most universities have maybe one orchestra concert a year that they bring in. Back when I was growing up, we heard Cleveland, New York, Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia every year. It was unbelievable. And I never was bored. I was brought in at 5 or 6 years old, and we listened to concerts, and I studied violin. And what happened, why I didn't get to the orchestra world, I didn't practice enough. I put the fiddle away in the summer
dear.
And played baseball. And so I always have envied the great players that are in the Utah Symphony or any other orchestra. But I always loved the repertoire, so that's why I'm in the business, because I love the music and I love to help program
this
it.
This is what your quote, you love live music because you're hearing Genesis in real time and there's no commercial.
Geniuses.
Yeah.
Oh, I was here. I've read Genesis
it's a good,
every time,
good,
but wouldn't
good band,
Genesis?
But yeah. not
Let's
just
spin it.
No,
Let's
no,
just
yeah.
go for it. Okay. It's the Genesis.
So anyway. For about 125 shows for our morning mix, I used to produce the show and get our live local music every show.
Great.
And then Christy has just done a great job and she produces it now. And we know how much work goes into making the phone calls, identifying the artist, following up, making the whole thing happy for a very, making the whole thing happen for a very humble little radio show. I can only imagine what it is like to be able to book the talent that you do in an extraordinarily competitive time period. Everybody wants these artists in the summer. Can you talk about the experience of putting these schedules together?
Sure. I mean, very simply, we have to start with Friday, Saturday concerts at Snow Park. So we have to figure out when those dates are. And then, of course, the intricate, you know, juggling match of can Diana Krall come on this date or and apparently not on that date. So that's why where she ended up is not where she started out. And the same thing with the Beach Boys. It was a lot of negotiation. And finally, sometimes we get lucky and say, look, we can only have you here on this Saturday. And maybe then we lose the artist. But we were very lucky this year, and this is the second time Diana Krall is with us. The first time was an orchestra date. Now her tour, which again goes east to west, and in support of one of her new CDs, is without orchestra. And of course we said, sure, let's do what we would then call a presentation without the band behind her, because it's such a fantastic musician, and we love to bring her and be the one that sponsors her appearance again.
So you take care of getting all the talent booked and
yes.
those sorts of things.
Yes.
What about the next step, which is
the fee.
Selecting the fee? Well, there's I know there's a negotiation.
The contracting and the fee is certainly a big part of it.
Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
And what about the coordination of getting the scores to them and finding, you know, what kind of music you're going to perform together and those sorts of things?
Well,
is that part of your responsibility?
Sure. You know, as I said, Terry Fisher, the music director of the Utah Symphony, and the rest of the staff, we all collaborate on every concert, and there's a lot of give and take. And then, of course, in the case of, say, Renee Fleming, who we're now talking with about our gala this fall, you know, the great soprano, we have to be very, very careful on what she's willing to see sing, what she's comfortable to sing, and how long everything is. I mean, we have to make sure everything fits in time, in the time frame as well. So I always call it a 3D puzzle, and I always hated doing puzzles when I grew up. But this part I do like, because it's just a great end game, and to be behind the scenes is very rewarding.
It's almost like a Rubik's Cube.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And one entire side of that Rubik's Cube is your relationships that you have. You've got so many relationships with various artists and you can reach out to them and know.
Well, and I'll be honest, in a lot of cases with the bigger names, we're not really getting that close to them. We're talking to their managements. And sometimes I will just say very, very nicely, some of the managements can be very quick and polite, and some of them can be incredibly draining because of the back and forth that has to happen. This is even after the contract.
Right. Some people are just more
I'll just say the word road manager and not mention any names.
So over the last 7 years, what has most surprised you about what you do?
I'm still in love with the non-humidity here, which is why I really came. I kept coming from the east to find dryness. No, I'm not kidding, really.
Oh,
44 years of Connecticut humidity and then Indianapolis Symphony before here, which has also a summer home.
Yeah.
But there, the sad thing was, you would sit still in the audience and just sweat all night. And so the musicians had to play in that same humidity. I mean, I admire them so much, my dear friends back in Indy. And I started out with the Hartford Symphony and then went to Seattle and then came from Indy to here. So there's been four orchestras over about 35 years, which is a really great thrill. But my wife and I and the kids really love it here. This is a fantastic place. And this is a great band. And this is one of the only merged opera and symphony organizations in the U.S., which is rare because that's how they do it in Europe. It's amazing that it doesn't happen more often to have one merged company in a city giving you opera and symphony.
Well, you know, Toby, JW has been talking to me for the past couple months about getting opera back up at Deer Valley, so he might pull you aside after this.
We're going
to
write a short opera for the morning mix, our little Friday show, and we'll see what happens. But
great.
And
so you guys have all mentioned all the great people coming this summer. Great. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back there. I'm really excited specifically about Leslie Odom Jr., who just did his show for the first time just last month, actually this month with the Boston Pops with Keith Lockhart, our former music director, and going to San Diego, I think, the weekend before us. So we're really excited about him making a debut with us.
Well, and that's a lot of the programming as well, right? Like getting the artists who are on tour and they're crisscrossing back and forth between other bigger venues than us, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, a lot of the places do multiple nights. We have to come up with the different show from Friday and Saturday, which is different. As I mentioned, Indianapolis would do the same show for two nights in a row. But we have to keep moving it along. And don't forget the Wednesdays, great classical music at St. Mary's Church, which is a really great part of our whole mix.
Tough question for people from Yankees.
Oh, sorry. I grew up in Eastern Connecticut. Geographically, you have to be a Red Sox fan. You have to suffer. And my father, who passed away, sadly, way before the World Series wins, I had to join him in this angst. In fact, we watched the Mets kill us in '86.
We're going to talk Sox offline. Toby Tolikin, who is the Vice President of Artistic Planning, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you all.
Now, we wanted to play the song earlier in the program, but we had to get Jerry Steichen to rehearse his orchestra, so we weren't able to do it. But right now, we're going to play a song from Lisa Vroman. Again, she was a Broadway star as Christine in Phantom of the Opera. We're going to play a song now titled Think of Me. Back to you, Bob.
Said goodbye. Remember me every so often. Promise me you'll try. On that day, that not so distant day, when you were far away and free, if you ever find a moment, spare a thought for me. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Morning Mix. This is Jude Robinson. We're live at the Utah Symphony, Utah Opera, Salt Lake City, Capitol Theater. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Squatters and Wasatch Brew Pub, Crandall Capital, New Park Town Center, Park City Mountain, Campos Coffee, San Francisco Designs, Utah Symphony and Utah Opera, and Berkshire Hathaway, Home Services Utah Properties.
We also want to thank our guests for this special live from Capitol Theater broadcast, Lisa Roman, who you just heard singing recorded Phantom of the Opera, Jerry Steichen, Paul Meacham, Toby Tolkien, all with the Utah Symphony, and also Renee Huang for helping us set up this amazing broadcast and for co-hosting us with us today and for making JW's dream come true of having the Utah Symphony as our musical guest. We invite you to follow us on Facebook at KPCW Morning Mix and to check out our podcast on kpcw.org under the shows tab.
And you are listening to KPCW in Park City. We want to thank everyone for joining us this morning. And Renee, thank you again.
It's been so great to see you guys down here.
Yeah. Hey, we have 1 minute left. Is there anything else that we should be sharing with
Bob
with our folks? Oh, yeah, we absolutely want to thank Bob Hendricks and Roger Crawford for their help this morning, everything that they did to help us put this broadcast together.
I would just want to highlight something that Toby touched upon, that we are a joint symphony and opera company, and we also have a huge educational component, and it's extending to Park City this summer. So we are actually having pro amateur master classes for adult string, bass, and woodwind musicians to work alongside Utah Symphony musicians prior to a concert. So you can go onto our website, DeerValleyMusicFestival.org, and you can sign up. It's only $25, so it's awesome for those adult musicians out there who are amateur and want to work alongside one of our pros.
So Jerry Steichen, who was with us earlier, is going to be out at the Episcopal Church on Saturday afternoon with one of the master classes before his orchestra program that evening.
Yeah, he's doing a musical theater audition master class. We did this in partnership with Egyptian Theater.